In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need encouragement to do good things. Sometimes we need a swift kick, pants to do good things. But we need encouragement also. You have to want to do good things, and then you have to have somehow the ability to do good things. And the ability is not just that you have some capability, but also that you believe you can, and that you feel support, and that you feel warmth in your heart from God visiting you because of your work. We need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. Anybody who's had a child knows children need constant encouragement. They need to believe that they can do something. And if they believe they can, then they can. So the scripture is full of encouragement, but it's encouragement and also it's commands. But we are given the capability of following those commands in the words of the scripture, sometimes in the very place that is commanding us. So I'll give you an example from St. Paul's epistle today. Like I tell you all the time, when I read the scripture, things just kind of jump out at me. I hope they jump out at you. And I'll tell you, if they're not jumping out at you, you're not reading the scripture enough. If you read the scripture a lot, then this will happen to you all the time. There'll be something that's just very beautiful and meaningful to you. And maybe it's the same thing you've read before and, you know, you understand it in the same way. Or it's a new understanding. It happens to me all the time that there's some sort of nuance of a new understanding or sometimes a completely new understanding when I read the scriptures. So if you're not reading the scriptures, then, well, you're poisoning yourself, basically. Because the scriptures are the antidote for the poison of the world. So if you're not reading the scriptures, then you really don't really stand a chance. So you have to read the scriptures. And I know it's hard in the beginning. I know the vocabulary is difficult. The way the words are put together are difficult. Sometimes the sayings are like, what in the world do they mean by that? I understand that. But if you read the scriptures often with desire, sort of like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, then I'll tell you, it'll be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And you'll want to read the scriptures more. So really, if you're not reading the scriptures, then I guess you might say, oh, well, something he said was interesting and even wonderful, but it's not going to help you much. So you have to read the scriptures. It's very critical. And I would say that there are five that you should read. The four Gospels and the Psalter are the most critical things. If that's all you read, then that's going to help you save your soul. So he says, we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. And I was thinking, as I was reading that, me, sinful person, full of all kinds of weakness, I'm a laborer with God. It reminded me, when I was a kid, my dad used to tell this. I don't remember it, but I remember that he told it enough that he was very handy, right? So I'd work with him, right? And of course, I wasn't really working with him. I was just getting in the way and he was showing me stuff, right? And I remember two main things from working with him. One was this story, and the other was that you never use a chisel as a screwdriver. He hated that. You don't use a chisel as a screwdriver. Always use the tool for the purpose it was intended. That's what he drilled into my head. He's really mad when I use a chisel as a screwdriver. But the story that he told is that one time we were working, he was doing some woodworking, right? So there was wood dust and stuff. And I grabbed some wood dust and I rubbed it in my hands, you know, rubbed it on my arms. And I said, look, Dad, I've been working. And he taught me how to do things. You know, I can do electrical work, plumbing work, stuff like that. Because he taught me how to do that stuff. I was a laborer with him, not a very good laborer, but I was taught by him. And so now I can do that kind of stuff. So I was thinking of that image of a child working with his father and us. But the difference is that with a child saying, look, Dad, I'm working. I really wasn't doing any work except just spreading dust around. But in our case, when we are laborers with God, we are really doing labor. We are really doing important things. The Lord wants us to have his body and blood, but he does not provide it out of his own hand. He provides it out of the hand of the priests. The Lord wants us to comfort one another. He doesn't come down from heaven anymore to comfort us. We comfort one another. Of course, the Holy Spirit abides in us, but the Lord does not physically do the work that he wants us to do. We physically do that work and that labor. We are laborers together with God. This is the kind of encouragement that we need. Because I'll tell you, maybe it happens to you. I think it probably does. Don't you ever think, like, what am I doing this for? It doesn't seem to be doing any good. I've been doing this for so long with this person, and it doesn't seem to be any better. Maybe it's even gotten worse. Anybody ever have that kind of feeling? Well, that's what's called logismoi, these thoughts that come into our hearts that are just terrible thoughts. And they're not really true. They're very provocative. They're very beguiling. We believe them, but they're not true because we are laborers together with God. What an incredible privilege to labor with God, to be God's husbandry, to be God's building. This is the greatest encouragement to help us to do good things. If we do not really understand this and enter into this, then when we're laboring and failing, which happens often, then we will lose heart. But if we're laborers with God, then we will continue. So the scripture tells us constantly things like this that are encouraging. I hope they're encouraging to you. Now, that's not just encouragement, though. That's also a command. You have to know how to read scripture, okay? It says, we are laborers for God. Translated means, you must be a laborer for God and with God. You must be God's husbandry. You must be God's building. If you don't want to labor and be a co-laborer with God, then you're not a Christian. That's the subtext here. That's the command. But the encouragement is, God, who knows all things, can do anything he wants, chooses us for many specific tasks every day. I find that to be tremendous and encouraging, especially when there are failures. And I have failures every single day. But I'm a laborer with God. Not a very good one. But he told me to labor with him. He said, you're good enough to labor with. Just like Peter. We have lots of hymnology about Peter, that when he denied the Lord 3 times, then he felt, will I be an apostle or will I just be just a fisher of fish? Just go back to fishing. But the Lord received him, didn't he? In that third visit that was described by John, when they were fishing, and Peter knew it was the Lord, swam to him, and then the Lord restored him with this dialogue, Peter, do you love me? And then he said, feed my sheep, feed my little lambs. He restored Peter. He said, Peter, yes, I know you really, 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 to put it in sort of a modern language, I don't think the fathers would have said this. You really messed up terribly. There's no doubt about it. But you are still my guy. You're still going to be a laborer with me. You're still good enough for me. And so on the strength of that, Peter became a great apostle. And his sound went throughout the entire world so that we hear it now. What an incredible privilege it is to be a laborer with God. Now, if you're not laboring, then you're not going to feel that privilege. If you're not struggling, if you're just living day to day, just making, going to work and doing this and doing that, then you're not going to, this is not going to resonate with you. It resonates with you if you're laboring, if you're struggling. And it should especially resonate with you if you're failing. And basically, if you are laboring, you are also failing. And then you can really feel God's help in you. Because you can't do anything. We know that. We know that intellectually. But we really don't know that in our heart, really, do we? We don't really live that way. We fall short and then we just stop. But if we know that God has said, like he said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, you are the one I want to do the work. If you believe that, then there's power in that. Now we have to be careful. As soon as the apostle tells us that we are laborers. He talks about being a master builder and laying down a foundation. And then he says every man must be careful what he lays down upon the foundation, which of course is Christ. That's the labor that you're doing, the laying down of the foundation. Excuse me, not the laying down of the foundation, the building up on the foundation. And he talks about you can have gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or stubble. And whatever you build, it will be shown if that is the right thing that you use to build with. So we build with love, we build with humility, we build with labor, we build with zeal, and then that building is gold and silver, and it endures. Now I want to tell you a little theological point that is not often understood. Some people believe, well, no matter how bad I do, you know, I'll be saved, because it says I'll be saved as through fire. Well, I'll just go through a hard time, but I'll be saved. It's not what it means. When the apostle says, if any man's work abide, which he shall have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved as through fire. People who don't understand the scripture will say, oh, well, see, that means a man can be saved even though he hasn't really struggled in a Christian life. That's not true. Being saved through fire is the fire of hell. In other words, we're alive. We're alive forever. Our souls are alive forever, and our bodies are going to be alive forever. They will live for a time on this earth and then die, but then they will be eternally alive and united with our soul. And we will either be in the presence of God or we will be outside of his presence. And of course, by being outside of his presence doesn't mean that he won't be there. It means that his presence will be like a fire to us because of our sins from which we can no longer repent because that time has passed. So that's also an encouragement. I prefer the positive encouragement myself. Some people, they will do good works because they're afraid of the eternal fire. And that's, if you're going to do good works and you're going to become a good person and you're going to have love for God, it can start that way, but it can't finish that way. The perfect way to do good works is because of love, because there's love in the heart. And we are co-laborers because of love. Now, I'll give you one other thing that the Lord said through Paul that is encouragement. Very helpful to me. And it's encouragement not only to labor, but also when you are tempted to sin, especially sins that are very impure. So he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Then he goes on with the implications of that. But we know the implications of that. If we're the temple of God and the Spirit of God that dwells in us, don't we want to keep that temple clean? And when we are tempted to do something that is dirty, what if we remembered that? I'm the temple of God. I should stay clean. I don't need to do this unclean thing. I don't need to be jealous. I don't need to say this slander. I don't need to do this sexual impurity because it makes my temple dirty. And I don't want to make the temple of God dirty. If a person really believes that and lives by that, they can be saved from a lot of sin. But we are the temple of God. God dwells in us. With all of our sins, with all of our, as I've told you many times before, all stupid human tricks. So many dumb things we do. So many terrible things we do. Terrible thoughts we have. And yet, God says he wants to abide in us. Shouldn't that be pretty exciting to you? Shouldn't that motivate you? I think it should. If people really believe that, then there wouldn't be war, and there wouldn't be famine, and there wouldn't be racism and everything else. But most people don't believe it. Even people that go into a church, they don't really believe it. We are laborers because we are the temple of God and God lives in us. What a privilege it is to be a laborer. So go out and labor because it is life. Everybody wants life. Everybody wants to feel good. This is how you feel good. You feel good by doing good. We don't believe this terrible heresy of about 500 some years old now. It's actually a little older than that, really. The idea that you can have salvation without labor. It's not possible. Can you raise children without labor? Can you have a job without labor? Can you learn to play basketball without labor? It's not possible. There is nothing possible without labor, including salvation. And it is a privilege to labor for something which is permanent and eternal. I'll tell you a little story that I was just thinking of why I became a priest. I became a priest really for two reasons. And I've never liked temporary things. All my life I've hated temporary things. So I hate small talk and all that kind of stuff. I don't like temporary things. I like things that are eternal. Now, I didn't understand that exactly in a spiritual way before I was a Christian. But when I became a Christian, I saw that what I did in life is eternal. And I also saw so much sin in the world. Lots of sin in myself and in others. And people not living like they were the temple of God. Not laboring for God. Laboring for things that are going to perish. So I became angry about that. So I became a priest because of eternal things and anger. I was angry about sin, and I still am. Anger is a great motivator if it's used in the correct way. I hate sin in myself and in other people's. I hate how it destroys people's lives. I hate how it makes people unaware of who they are and why they're here. So I became a priest because basically of not specifically this verse, but this concept, to be a laborer with God for eternal things. And you must also labor for God for eternal things. You don't have to be a priest to labor for God for eternal things. Everybody is a co-laborer, and it's a great privilege to do so. May God bless you and help you in all things.